Al-Bashir, your source of Islamic literature, presents Dreams and Dream Interpretations by Imam Anwar al-Awlaki. This series of lectures covers the many different aspects from the world of the unseen. As one of the early scholars in Islam, Ibn Qutaybah once said, "There is nothing that people deal with from different sciences that is more obscure, delicate, exalted, noble, difficult, and problematic than dreams, because they are a type of revelation and a kind of prophethood." We hope you enjoy this series of lectures.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tusliman kathira. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nasta'dih, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده ولا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. الله سبحانه وتعالى says,
ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Behold, verily, on the friends of Allah, the awliya of Allah, on the friends of Allah, there's no fear, nor shall they grieve. Those who believe and constantly guard against evil. For them are glad tidings in the life of the present and the hereafter. No change can there be in the words of Allah. This is indeed the supreme felicity." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat says that His awliya, the friends of Allah azza wa jal, there shall be no fear on them or grief. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَىٰ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. For them are glad tidings in the life of the present and in the hereafter. So what are the glad tidings for the believers in this life? Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu anhu, in his Musnad, narrates hadith by Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the tafsir of this ayah, لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة قال الرؤيا الصالحة يراها المسلم أو ترى له. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the explanation of this ayah that the glad tidings that the believer receives in this life is a good dream that he sees or somebody sees for him. So for example, if someone saw a dream for you and it's good news for you, this is a bushra, this is a glad tiding from Allah Azza wa Jal. Or it could be a dream that you yourself see. So we're going to talk about this interesting and amazing world of the unseen, because it's part of ghayb. Dreams are part of the unseen metaphysical world, something that is beyond the material world. And it's a very interesting and intriguing world. Now, regarding the issue of dreams, there are two extremes. There is one extreme where some deviants from this ummah exaggerated in the issue of the importance of dreams, and they made false claims based on false dreams. And we will talk about the issue of dreams and sharia, that the dreams have nothing to do with sharia. We cannot derive laws, for example, of halal and haram from dreams. And then there's the other extreme, where some people view that this issue is totally nonsense, it doesn't mean anything. But there's middle ground, and we'll talk about, inshallah, in these lectures, some rules and regulations and notes regarding the topic of dreams in Islam. And we'll talk a little bit about the issue of dream interpretation too, towards the end. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الرؤيا الحسنة من الرجل الصالح جزء من 46 جزءا من النبوة. أنس بن مالك says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the good dream seen by a righteous man is one part of 46 parts of prophethood. So the issue carries some importance in Islam, and we'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about dreams in Quran. For example, in Surah Yusuf, you have the dream of Sayyidina Yusuf when he was young, and then you have the dream of the two prisoners who were with Sayyidina Yusuf in jail, and then you have the dream of the king. There's also a dream mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw, and then we'll also talk about dreams that were mentioned in hadith, dreams that were seen by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and dreams that were seen by the Sahaba, and some dreams that were seen by as-Salihin. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it's part of 46 parts of prophethood. There are some scholars who try to give an explanation to this particular ratio. Why is it one part of 46? This is an explanation that they gave. We have no way of discerning whether it is right or not, because there's no evidence from hadith to state that this is the fact for sure. But I will mention it as an explanation that was given by some scholars. Obviously, the issue is disputed. Some scholars don't agree with it. But they said that the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the period in which he was given nubuwwah, extends from the age of 40 to the age of 63. So it's 23 years. Because we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received nubuwwah, prophethood, when he was 40 years old. And he passed away when he was 63. So the period is 23 years. And we also know from Sirah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for 6 months before becoming a prophet, for 6 months, he was seeing dreams on a very frequent basis, and the dreams were direct, and they would occur exactly as he would see them. كَفَلَقْ الصُّبْحِ, as was mentioned in the hadith. So the dreams were very frequent and very direct. So what's the ratio of 6 months to 23? The ratio is 1 to 46. Anyway, this is the part of Nubuwwah that remains until the end of time. Dreams that the believers see. So we'll talk about some rules and notes regarding dreams and dream interpretation. First, I'll quote to you a saying by one of the early scholars of As-Salaf. His name is Ibn Qutayba al-Dinawari. Ibn Qutayba al-Dinawari is one of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, very early scholar, and he has a book on dream interpretation, and it's one of the earliest books written on the subject. By the way, there's a book that is attributed to Ibn Sirin. It's called Dream Interpretation by Ibn Sirin. That book is not actually written by Ibn Sirin himself. The book contains a lot of narrations to Ibn Sirin, but it wasn't authored and penned by Ibn Sirin himself. In fact, it was written centuries after Ibn Sirin passed away, and it was written by a Shafi'i scholar. He was called Al-Wa'adh. So Ibn Qutaybah has a book on dream interpretation. He says in this book, وَلَيْسَ فِي مَا يَتَعَاطَاهُ النَّاسِ مِنْ فُنُونِ الْعِلْمِ وَيَتَمَارَسُونَ فِي صُنُوفِ الْحُكُمِ شيء هو أغمض وألطف وأجل وأشرف وأصعب مرارا وأشد إشكالا من الرؤيا لأنها من جنس الوحي وضرب من النبوة. He says there's nothing that people deal with from the different sciences. He means the sciences of Sharia. He says there's nothing that people deal with from the different sciences that is more obscure and delicate and exalted and noble and difficult and problematic than dreams, because it is a type of revelation and a kind of prophethood. So it's really not a light issue, and it's not a very simple one either. He doesn't see that there's anything that is more obscure and delicate and exalted and noble in the same time and difficult and problematic. Why? He says because it is part of prophethood. So, therefore, dream interpretation is not an easy thing at all. Anyway, number one, there are three types of dreams. At-Tirmidhi narrates, Muhammad ibn Sirin, he narrates from Abu Hurairah. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously ibn Sirin is a tabi'i, he's one of the tabi'in, so he studied under the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الرؤيا ثلاث فرؤيا حق ورؤيا يحدث بها الرجل نفسه ورؤيا تحزين من الشيطان فمن رأى ما يكره فليقم فليصل. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there are three types of dreams. The first is a true dream, ru'ya haqq. The second, ru'ya yuhaddithu biha ar-rajulu nafsah, a dream in which a person is speaking to himself. What does this mean? You might be obsessed with something, or you might have thought about something for a long time during the daytime, you end up dreaming about it at night. This really doesn't mean anything. It is a repetition of your thoughts during daytime. The third type is وَرُؤْيَا تَحْزِينٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And the third type is a dream from shaitan that is tahzeen. He wants to make you sad. He inspires to you a dream that would make you feel bad, that would make you sad. Why would shaitan do this? Because he hates the believer. That's why we have in the hadith in Sahih Muslim that whenever a child is born, shaitan stabs the child, and that's why the child comes out to this world crying. It's because of that stab of shaitan. I mean, look at how envious this being is. I mean, he wouldn't even leave the newborn child alone. That's how bad he really hates the son of Adam. So these are the three types of dreams. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when you see a dream from shaitan, what should you do? Stand up and pray. فَلْيَقُمْ فَلْيُصَلِّي. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you turn towards the left side and you blow three times and you seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from the evil of such a dream and it will not harm you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَالْحُلُمُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِذَا رَأَى أَحَدُكُمْ شَيْئًا يَكْرَهُ فَلْيَنْفُثْ حِينَ يَسْتَيْقَظْ ثَلَاث مَرَّاتْ وَيَتَعَوَّذْ مِنْ شَرِّهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَضُرُّهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you blow towards the left and you say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم and you seek refuge in Allah from this dream, it won't harm you then. It won't harm you. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الرؤيا من الله والحلم من الشيطان. The good dream is from Allah and the حلم is from شيطان. In the Arabic language, there is a differentiation between the good dream and the dream that is from شيطان. So رؤيا, when the word رؤيا is used, usually means a good dream. And when the word حلم is used, it usually means something that doesn't have a meaning or it is from shaitan. Abu Salama, one of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, and his statement would show you that how the Sahaba would be concerned when they see a dream. Abu Salama said, وَإِن كُنْتُ لَأَرَى الرُّؤْيَا أَثْقَلْ عَلَيَّ مِنَ الْجَبَلِ. He said, sometimes I would see a dream that would be heavier on my shoulder than carrying a mountain. Meaning he would be so concerned with it. He said, when he heard this hadith, فَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا أَن سَمِعْتُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَمَا أُبَالِيهَا. But since I heard this hadith, I wouldn't care about a bad dream that I would see. He's referring to this hadith that I just mentioned, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a good dream is from Allah and a bad dream is from shaitan. There's another advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us on how to deal with dreams. عن أبي سعيد الخدري أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا رأى أحدكم رؤيا يحبها فإنما هي من الله فليحمد الله عليها وليحدث بها وإذا رأى غير ذلك مما يكره فإنما هي من الشيطان فليستعذ من شرها ولا يذكرها لأحد فإنها لا تضره. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says, when one of you sees a dream that he likes, it is from Allah, and he should thank Allah for it, and he should speak about it. And if he sees otherwise, meaning if he sees something that he don't like, it is from shaitan, seek refuge in Allah from its harm, and don't mention it to anybody, and it won't harm you. So when you see a good dream, you can talk about it, and we will talk about who you can mention the dream to. You don't talk about it with everyone. And if it's not a good dream, then forget about it and don't mention it to anyone. This is an important advice to note here. Don't tell anybody about it. Don't give shaitan a laugh. Make him see that you're concerned and you're sad and you're sorry and you're complaining about this dream to this person and that person. Completely forget about it and don't talk about it to anyone. Seek refuge in Allah from shaitan and from the harm of that dream, and don't mention it to anyone. So again, to recap on what we just mentioned, when you see a good dream, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it and you can talk about it. And when you see something that is not good from shaitan, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, you stand up and pray. And in another hadith, he says that you blow towards the left side 3 times and you seek refuge in Allah. And in the other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't mention it to anyone. A question here, is every dream that a believer sees, is it good? Al-Muhallab says, and this is from Ibn Hajar in his commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, he says, المراد غالب رؤيا الصالحين وإلا فالصالح قد يرى الأضغاث ولكنه نادر. See, because we mentioned in the hadith that there are 3 types of dreams. One of them is the good dream that is seen by the believer. So does that mean that every dream that the believer sees has a meaning? No, we mentioned that some of them would just be a reflection of the thoughts that you're thinking about, or something that concerns you, or something that a person might be obsessed with, he would dream about that frequently. So Al-Muhallab says, المراد غالب رؤيا الصالحين وإلا فالصالح قد يرى الأضغاث ولكنه نادر لقلة تمكن الشيطان منهم. He says, most of the dreams of the righteous people are good dreams, because sometimes a righteous person could see a dream that is meaningless, but that is not very frequent. Why? Because he said that shaitan's control on them is weak. بخلاف عكسهم فإن الصدق فيهم نادر. And the opposite is true with other people, because shaitan has a stronger grasp on them. قال فالناس على هذا 3 درجات. He says, people are 3 categories. الأنبياء ورؤياهم كلها صدق وقد يقع فيها ما يحتاج إلى تعبير. He said, the Anbiya, the prophets, all of their dreams are true dreams, but sometimes they need interpretation, because we'll talk about here, the good dream divides into 2 categories. One is a direct dream, meaning you would see something and the exact scene which you saw in your dream would repeat itself during the daytime, when you're awake. So this dream is a direct dream and it doesn't need any interpretation. But then there is a good dream that it comes in symbols and it needs to be interpreted. And then he says, والصالحون والأغلب على رؤياهم الصدق. And then you have the righteous people, and most of the time their dreams are righteous dreams. وقد يقع فيها ما لا يحتاج إلى تعبير. And sometimes their dreams are direct. So with the Anbiya, all of their dreams are true and most of them are direct. With the righteous, most of their dreams are true and most of them need to be interpreted. وَمَنْ عَدَاهُمْ يَقَعُ فِي رُؤْيَاهُمُ الصَّدْقُ وَالْأَضْغَاثُ. And the rest of people, most of their dreams are not true, but some of them could be true. Because, for example, in Surah Yusuf, the king saw a dream and he wasn't a Muslim. And those prisoners saw true dreams and they weren't Muslim. So a fasiq, a Muslim who's not practicing, or a disbeliever could see a dream and it would be a true dream. So true dreams are not exclusive to the believers. It's just that it's more frequent for them. So that's the first point. The second point. Do not mention the dream for interpretation except to a scholar or a person who would advise you sincerely. So you don't narrate your dream for the purpose of interpretation except to a person who has some expertise in the field, a scholar in this particular field, because not every scholar has the ability to interpret dreams. SubhanAllah, this is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. Obviously, part of it is knowledge. There's part of it that could be studied from books. But then there's another part of it that is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are some people in our ummah that were famous with their ability to interpret dreams. And then you have some other great scholars, it wasn't known that they had this ability. So for example, Abu Bakr was famous for his ability to interpret dreams. Umar ibn Khattab and Ibn Sirin was also famous for his ability to interpret dreams. طيب, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you should not mention your dream to an envious person. And there's evidence for this in Quran. When Yusuf alayhi salam saw his dream, and he was young at the time, and he mentioned it to his father told him, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. His father Yaqub told him, do not mention your dream to your brothers. Why? فيكيدوا لك كيدا. They would plot against you out of envy. So we should not mention our dreams towards an envious person. You should mention the dream towards a person whom you love. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tuhib." If you love someone, then you can tell them your good dreams. And you mention the dream to a nasih, a person who would give you sincere advice, and to a alim, to a scholar who would interpret it for you. Number 3, seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu says, and this hadith is in Bukhari, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من رآني في المنام فقد رآني فإن الشيطان لا يتخيل بي. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever sees me in his dream has seen me, because shaitan does not come in my form. There is an issue here. What if a person sees Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in his dream? So he sees a person, and his feeling in his dream tell him that this is Rasulullah. But the description of this person is different than the description we have of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, you see somebody who has a gray beard. We know from the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that most of the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was black, except some of it grew gray. Is that Rasulullah? You see a person who is thin in your dream, and you think that it's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know from the description of Rasulullah in the books that he was medium built. So is that person in your dream Rasulullah? Az-Zuhri says that Ibn Sirin said, إِذَا رَآهُ فِي صُورَتِهِ. If you see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam according to his description. So according to the view of Ibn Sirin, you have only seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you see him according to the description of Rasulullah that we have in books. And Nawawi, however, has a contrary view. As long as you felt in your dream that the person you saw was Rasulullah, then it's Rasulullah even if he comes in a different form. So there's a difference of opinion here. According to Ibn Sirin and also Ibn Taymiyyah, you must see him according to his known descriptions. But according to An-Nawawi and some other scholars, as long as you see him and your feeling is that this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is Rasulullah. So, as you see, there's a difference of opinion on this point. By the way, with the issue of seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not every believer will see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's not a requirement and condition of being a mu'min that you see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a ni'mah from Allah azza wa jalla that some people see Rasulullah, and there are many believers who don't. In fact, the majority don't. So it should not be taken as a proof of iman if a person sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or doesn't see him. And it's not something that is given to every person. Some people see Rasulullah very frequently. For example, Anas ibn Malik, it is mentioned that he used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dreams on a nightly basis, while some never see him in their lifetime. Number 4, a repetition of a dream is a sign of its truth. Whether the same person frequently sees that dream or more than one person have the same dream. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, أن رجالا من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أروا ليلة القدر في المنام في السبع الأواخر فقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أرى رؤياكم قد تواطأت في السبع الأواخر فمن كان متحريها فليتحرها في السبع الأواخر. Ibn Umar says that more than one companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and narrated to him that they have dreamed that the night of Qadr is in the last 7 nights of Ramadan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I see that your dreams tawata'at, meaning have strengthened each other, that the night of Qadr is towards the last 7 nights of Ramadan, so whoever is searching for it should search for it in those 7 nights. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi took it as an indication of the truth of the dream that more than one person saw it. And also in the dream about Adhan, it is mentioned that Umar ibn Khattab saw that dream, and another companion from Al-Ansar also saw that dream. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi said, it is from Allah. So that's number 4. Number 5, when is the most expected time to see a righteous dream? Is it at night or is it during daytime? And if you see a dream at night, are all the times equal, whether you saw it at, towards the beginning of the night or towards the latter part of it? What if you see a dream after Fajr? What if you see a dream at noontime? What is it with dreams during the daytime? Do they have any meaning at all? Well, Ibn Sirin says that رُؤْيَ اللَّيْلِ مِثْلُ رُؤْيَ النَّهَارِ, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Ibn Sirin says that the dreams of daytime are equal to the dreams of night. Because some people say that you must see the dream at night. If you see it during the daytime, it's meaningless. No, that's not true. Any part of the day or night can be a time in which you see a true dream. However, some scholars stated that the best time during the night time is before Fajr, and the best time in the daytime is at noon, the time of Qaylula. When you take a nap, a midday nap, that is the best time during the day. Number 6, true dreams are 2 types. Direct dreams that do not need interpretation, and dreams that are symbols that need to be interpreted. We talked about this before. However, I'll mention to you what Ibn Battal said, one of our scholars. He said, وَقَدْ وَجَدْنَا الرُّؤْيَا تَنْقَسِمُوا قِسْمَيْنَ جَلِيَّةً ظَاهِرَةً كَمَنْ رَأَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنَّهُ يُعْطِي تَمْرًا فَأَعْطَى تَمْرًا مِثْلُهُ فِي الْيَقَظَةِ فَهَذَا الْقِسْمُ لَا إِغْرَابَ فِي تَأْوِيلِهَا وَلَا رَمْزٌ فِي تَفْسِيرِهَا ومرموزة بعيدة المرام فهذا القسم لا يقوم به حتى يعبره إلا حاذق لبعد ضرب المثل فيه. He says dreams are 2 types. He's talking about the true dream. A clear, evident dream, like somebody who would dream about himself giving dates to someone, and during the daytime he would give somebody dates. So what he saw at night repeated itself in the daytime. He said, this type of dream doesn't need any interpretation because it just happens as you saw it. And then he says there's another type of dream, marmuza, which comes in symbols. And this type, you would not understand its meaning unless you interpret it with this person who has knowledge and experience with dream interpretation, because the symbols are very delicate and sometimes very sophisticated or complicated. So this type of dream needs to be interpreted because it comes in symbols. For example, when Rasulullah ﷺ saw that he was drinking milk, and then there was some milk that remained in the bottom of the vessel, and then he gave that vessel to Umar ibn Khattab to drink, and Rasulullah ﷺ said the interpretation of that dream is knowledge. So here milk symbolizes knowledge. This is a dream that didn't happen as it was seen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the meaning of this dream is not that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would physically actually drink that milk, but it means that he has absorbed knowledge. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the dream that it was so much that milk started to flow from beneath his nails, his fingers. So he had so much knowledge absorbed in him that it started flowing out of him. So this is a symbol. Milk here is a symbol of knowledge. Number 7, dreams can be about the past, or the present, or the future. You could dream about something that happened in the past, or you could dream about something that is happening now, or you could dream about something that is in the future. Number 8, true dreams increase towards the end of time. Muhammad ibn Sirin said that he heard Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu say, and this is in Bukhari, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا اقترب الزمان لم تكد تكذب رؤيا المؤمن ورؤيا المؤمن جزء من 46 جزءا من النبوة. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when time approaches, that is the literal translation of it, اقترب الزمان, when time approaches, the dream of the believer rarely would lie. Meaning that the dream of the believer is true when time approaches. So what does this statement mean, time approaches? There are two explanations given. قال الخطابي إذا اقترب الزمان فيها قولان أحدهما أن يكون معناه تقارب زمان الليل وزمان النهار وهو وقت استوائهما أيام الربيع وذلك وقت اعتدال الطبائع الأربع غالبا وكذلك هو في الحديث والمعبرون يقولون أصدق الرؤيا ما كان وقت اعتدال الليل والنهار وإدراك الثمار. الخطابي says that the meaning of اقترب الزمان, when time approaches, is the time of night and the time of day. When the time of night approaches the length of the time of daytime, that is when the dreams are true. And when does this happen in our area, in our part of the world? This happens in spring and in fall. Because in summer, the daytime is long, and in winter, the nighttime is long. So daytime and nighttime approach each other in terms of length during the springtime and during fall. And these are the two times when flowers open up and when fruits are ripe. And the scholars of dream interpretation actually state that these are the two times when the dreams are, it's most expected, most likely, that dreams would be true. So this is one opinion. The other opinion is towards the end of time. And Al-Qurtubi, he says, وَالْمُرَادُ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ بِآخِرِ الزَّمَانِ الْمَذْكُورِ فِي الْحَدِيثِ زَمَانُ الطَّائِفَةِ الْبَاقِيَةِ مَعَ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ بَعْدَ قَتْلِهِ الدَّجَّالِ. Al-Qurtubi says, what is meant by this hadith is the end of time, and it's talking about the band of the believers that will be with Isa ibn Maryam after he kills al-Dajjal. So this is a statement by Al-Qurtubi. And Ibn Abi Jamrah, this is a scholar from Al-Andalus, he says, والحكمة في اختصاص ذلك بآخر الزمان أن المؤمن في ذلك الوقت يكون غريبا كما في الحديث بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا. He says the reason why the believer sees true dreams in that time is because the believer will be غريب. He will be alone, as was mentioned in the hadith that بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا. And then Ibn Hajar comments on all of this and says, whenever the times are difficult for the believer, he will see dreams that are true more frequently, because he needs help. When the believer is alone, when the times are difficult, when you don't find people to support you on truth, on haqq, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire you and give you glad tidings through true dreams that you would see. And this is to give the believers in those difficult and testing times, it gives the believers strength. It gives them confidence. It gives them hope. So they would see a lot of dreams that come true. And that is why we see that, for example, the Muslims who are being tested, for example, we see that the believers who are in jail, in prison, they see a lot of dreams. And also those who are fighting fi sabillah, they see a lot of dreams. Why? Because they are being tested by Allah Azza wa Jal, so Allah Azza wa Jal assists them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them this aun from Him, this assistance from Him. Number 9. Most of the times, If a dream is a glad tiding from Allah to the believer, it would take a long time for it to occur. While if it is a warning, because some dreams could be a warning from Allah Azza wa Jal, a person could deviate from the true path and Allah Azza wa Jal inspires him with a dream to wake him up. That usually occurs swiftly. For example, the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam took a very long time for it to happen. Some say something around the figure of 40 years. That's a very long time for it to happen. Why? Some of the scholars say that the reason why it takes a long time for the dream of a glad tiding to occur is because Allah Azza wa Jal gives the believer the glad tiding early on to give him confidence and hope, to inspire him during his life. While if it is a warning, you would see it and it would occur very soon, so that it would not put fear in your heart. So for example, if a person sees a dream where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning him, it would happen and it would be over with soon, so that the person would not carry that concern in his heart for a very long time. Wallahu alam. Number 10, dreams are glad tidings and warnings, but are not a source of legislation. They are not a source of tashri'ah. You cannot say that I saw a dream where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me that rather than praying five times a day, I should only pray three, or I should only pray once, or I saw in a dream that such a thing is haram, or I saw in a dream that such a thing is halal. No, that's not true. Dreams are not a source of tashri'ah. And it's mentioned that Abdul Qadir al-Jailani, he saw a dream where a voice was talking to him from a cloud and telling him that you have reached a very high status now and you do not need to worship Allah through the rituals of worship anymore. You have reached a very high level in spirituality that now you can deal directly with Allah Azza wa Jalla. You don't have to pray and you don't have to fast and you don't have to do zakah. All of these things are things of the past. Abdul Qadir al-Jailani told him, "Ikhsa ya adu Allah." Be silent, you enemy of Allah. So he knew that this is from shaitan, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not tell his servant that you do not need to worship me anymore. الشاطبي says إن فائدة الرؤيا في البشارة والنذارة لا في التشريع والأحكام والقضاء. He says that the benefit of the dream is in giving the believer a glad tidings or a warning, not in legislation and judgment or rulings. Number 11. If you saw a dream that is very long, it's like a movie, or you saw a dream where someone is chasing you and it never ends, most likely that dream doesn't mean anything. True dreams are short and concise. These long, winding dreams, never-ending dreams, are meaningless, and sometimes they could be from shaitan, like these chasing dreams where you wake up so exhausted and tired. Someone has been chasing you all night long, and you're going up mountains and coming down and going up staircases and coming down, and it's never-ending. That doesn't mean anything. Say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم when you wake up. Number 12, the dream of a believer pleases him, but does not make him proud or overconfident. Ibn Muflih mentions in his book, Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah, he said, كان إبراهيم الحميدي رجلا صالحا فدخل عليه الإمام أحمد بن حنبل فقال له إن أمي رأت لك كذا وكذا وذكر الجنة. فقال الإمام أحمد يا أخي إن سهل بن سلامة كان الناس يخبرونه بمثل هذا وخرج سهل إلى سفك الدماء ثم قال له الرؤيا تسر المؤمن ولا تغره. Ibn Muflih mentions in his book Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah that Ibrahim al-Humaydi was a righteous man and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal visited him. So Ibrahim al-Humaydi, he told Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal that my mother has seen a dream for you where she saw this and that for you, and then he mentioned Jannah. In other words, the mother of Ibrahim dreamed that Ahmad ibn Hanbal was in Jannah. So what was the response of Imam Ahmad? Out of his humbleness, radiallahu anhu, he said, my brother, Sahl ibn Salama, people used to see dreams for him similar to what you mentioned, and in the end, he ended up shedding blood. So the dream pleases the believer, but it doesn't make him boastful. It doesn't make him overconfident. And this is very important. If you see a good dream, it is a glad tiding from Allah, and be happy with it, but don't be overconfident in its meaning. And don't take it as something that is certain. Because as we mentioned before, the world of dreams is a very complicated and delicate and sophisticated one. So you can take nothing for granted. If a person dreams that he is in Jannah, don't take that for granted. And don't be boastful about it. And don't be overconfident about it and think that, khalas, it's done for me. No. Take it as a glad tiding. Take it as an indication. Take it for what it's worth. 13, dream interpretation is not certain but presumptive. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Quran, when Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted the dreams to the prisoners, he said, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا. And he said to the one who he presumed would be saved. So even Yusuf alayhi salam, in his dream interpretation, wasn't so certain about it, but he presumed that this is the correct interpretation. And Ibn Kathir mentions in his book Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, the beginning and the end, that one of the khulafa of Ibn Abbas, and this wasn't a very good khalifa, he saw a dream where he is climbing a ladder with 28 steps. So he had that dream interpreted. The ones who interpreted the dream for him told him that the meaning of this dream is that you would rule for 28 years. Your khilafah would be 28 years. Each step represents 1 year. He died 6 months later. Subhanallah. So the period of his khilafah was only 6 months. And he thought that he's going to rule for 28 years according to his dream. Well, there was a mistake here. He died at the age of 28. So the steps were representative of his age and not his rule. So see how this dream deceived him? Another example, there was a woman, she had a daughter, and then she dreamed that her daughter would break 3 banners. You know, the flag, the banner that is carried in wartime. She dreamed that her daughter would break 3 banners. She went to Ibn Sirin, and she had that dream interpreted. He told her, إِن صَدَقَتْ رُؤْيَاكِ تَزَوَّجَهَا ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْرَافٍ كُلُّهُمْ يُقْتَلُ عَنْهَا. He said, if her dream is true, it means that she would marry 3 noble men and all of them would be killed. Because she's carrying these banners, so these banners represent noblemen. And when she broke them, it means that they would be killed. Well, she grew up and she married Yazid ibn Muhallab, and this was a very great leader in Iraq, and he was killed. And then she married Amr ibn Yazid al-Taymi, and he was killed. And then she married al-Hasan ibn Uthman ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the grandson of the great Sahabi Abdurrahman ibn Auf, one of the 10 who were given the glad tidings of Jannah. She had an argument with him, dispute. So she told him, you would be killed. In the name of Allah, you would be killed. She was angry, so she told him. Probably she didn't tell him the meaning of this dream early on. She only told him now when she was angry with him. She told him that you would be killed. So he told her, why is that? فَأَخْبَرَتُ بِالرُّؤْيَا. So she told him about her dream. He said, all right, fine. I divorce you. Do you think that I'm going to be killed now? So she then married a man called Al-Abbas ibn Abdullah ibn al-Harith ibn Nawfal ibn al-Harith ibn Abdul Muttalib from Banu Hashim. And he was killed. See here, she thought that her husband Al-Hasan would be killed, but the dream was true in the fact that she would marry 3 men who would be killed, but it occurred that her 4th husband was the one who was killed and not the 3rd. Another example of how a dream could deceive in its meaning when it's not interpreted correctly. One man saw during the plague that caskets are coming out from his house. Dead bodies are coming out from his house. And the number of these bodies was the same number of his family. So he interpreted the dream to mean that his entire family would be killed by the plague. And subhanAllah, the dream started to manifest itself. His family were dying one after the other, and all of these dead bodies were coming out from his house exactly as he saw in his dream, until he was the last member of his family left. So he was pretty sure that he would be killed by the plague, because his dream until now was true. SubhanAllah, a thief came into his house and was struck by the plague, and he fell ill in his house, and SubhanAllah, he died, and he was the last body to leave the house, and not the person who saw the dream. He, SubhanAllah, lived. So you can see here how dreams, SubhanAllah, sometimes can carry an unexpected meaning. 14, the punishment for lying in a dream. It is haram and a great sin to claim that you have seen a dream when you have not seen it, or to lie in one's dream, to lie in the details of it. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تحلم بحلم لم يره كلف أن يعقد بين شعيرتين يوم القيامة ولن يفعل. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever claims to have seen a dream that he has not seen would be told to tie between two hairs on the Day of Judgment. Two fine hairs, two fine pieces of hair, a person would be called to tie a knot with these two pieces of hair on the Day of Judgment. Such a difficult task would be given to the person who lies in his dreams on the Day of Judgment. And subhanAllah, there are some who lie in their dreams to give the people the understanding that they're righteous. For example, a person would say, I've seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream, and he told me this and that. A person would do this to show off, riya, to give the people a certain image of himself, that he's such a righteous person who is seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dreams. It is haram and a great sin to do so. 15, a dream could be seen by a person, but it is for someone else. Al-Hakim narrates, and Ibn Mubarak, that some people saw a dream for Abu Jahl that he became a Muslim and he pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Abu Jahl never did that. So this dream was for his son Ikrimah, because Ikrimah is the one who became a Muslim and pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the dream was seen for Usayd ibn Abi al-As, that he became the governor of Mecca. And he never did. But his son, Attab, was the one who became the governor of Mecca. So sometimes a person would see himself, or someone else would see him in a dream, but the dream is for his friend or relative or son. That could happen. It is rare, but it could happen. As we have seen in these two examples. Number 16. The same dream or the same symbol in a dream could mean different things for different people. For example, a man came to Ibn Sirin and said that I saw myself making adhan in my dream. Ibn Sirin told him, you will make hajj. Another man came to Ibn Sirin and said, I saw myself making adhan in my dream. Ibn Sirin told him, you are a thief. Why did he tell him you are a thief, and he told the other person that you will make hajj? Ibn Sirin was asked this question. He said, because I saw the first man, I saw in his face righteousness. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Quran that Ibrahim made adhan, calling people to hajj. So I interpreted it to mean that this person will make hajj. While I saw evil in the face of this other man, and Allah says in Quran in Surah Yusuf,
ثم أذن مؤذن أيتها العير إنكم لسارقون.
So a person made adhan, a call, because adhan means call, that you caravan are thieves. So I interpreted it to mean that this person is a thief. 17, there's a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a dream is hanging on the leg of a bird, and another narration, on the wing of a bird. As soon as it is interpreted, it happens as it was interpreted. So some scholars say, if you take your dream to a scholar for interpretation, the dream would occur as it was interpreted. And that's why they say you should only mention it to a person who has knowledge about dream interpretation. And as Rasulullah ﷺ said, أو ناصحاً, or a person who would give you sincere advice. And you should not tell your dream to a person who is envious or hates you or would not give you sincere advice, because he could interpret that dream wrong and it would occur as it was interpreted. However, there is a difference of opinion regarding this issue, and Ibn Hajar says, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ مِنَ الْفَوَائِدِ أَنَّ الرُّؤْيَا لَيْسَتْ لِأَوَّلِ عَابِرٍ كَمَا تَقَدَّمَ تَقْرِيرُ. Ibn Hajar says that the dream is not according to the first interpretation that is given to it. And he says this regarding a dream that was seen by someone, and this dream was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr said, Ya Rasulullah, da'ni a'buraha. Oh Rasulullah, let me interpret the dream. We'll talk about that in detail when it comes up. But anyway, Ibn Hajar says that there's a difference of opinion regarding this issue. So some scholars say that it occurs according to its interpretation, and some scholars say that it doesn't. Anyway, as we mentioned, this is a very complicated and delicate world. These are 17 rules and notes regarding dream interpretation. Next time, inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk about dreams that were mentioned in Quran and mentioned in hadith. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira.
Please proceed to the next CD.